All right. I will tell you the scariest vehicle I ever drove in. You guys... Ugliest. Well, I was going to say it is a scary vehicle. Yes. Although I wasn't in that van. You guys should all ask Melissa about our trip to Jesus Northwest after our senior year in high school.
Would
you
share your story?
No. I will share, though, the ugliest... the ugliest car I've ever driven in, which is, you guys have it so good with Gus the Bus, because when I was in high school and I was in youth group, we drove around this thing called Brownie, which was an old brown van that had a seat in the far back and nothing in the middle, and there was a hole in the floor, like a hole this big, in the floor. We drove it everywhere. Like every youth event we went on. And people were like dying to ride in Brownie. You know, it was like, oh, you know, you had to like take turns and stuff. That was a scary thing. And my junior year, we drove it up to Washington to go to this music festival, and Brownie died. And we left Brownie in a big grassy field in the middle of nowhere in Washington. Probably still sitting there. Hey, I wasn't in charge. I was just along for the ride. Blame it on my youth leader. All right, we've been talking about faith through tough times. We started this series last week. If you missed last week, hop online. You can listen to it online. You can download the handout. You guys should also go check out online, there's a bunch of pictures on there if you guys haven't been on there before. Usually like within a week after an event, I upload the pictures from that event. So if you guys want to check out pictures, go there. And you can check out our event list and all that stuff. So who knows what the website is.
Youth.clfchurch.com.
You just click on it. But this series, the reason why we're doing this series is that we all go through tough things. If you have not had some sort of painful experience or tough time in your life, there's something wrong with you, because everybody has tough, hard times. And of course, some of us have had harder times than others. Some of us have had to deal with really kind of serious pain and suffering in our lives. Whether you've experienced that or not, you will. There's a lot of pain in life, and there's a lot of bad things that come and tough times that come through life. And last week we talked about a few things. We talked about where that came from. Where does pain come from? What's the root cause of pain and suffering?
Sin.
Our sin, right? We're responsible for it. Lots of people try to tag God attribute that to God, that God is the root of pain, that he's the source of pain. God is not the source of that. We are the source of that. Because of our choice to disobey God, and man's original choice to disobey God, that's when pain and suffering came into the world. And so we're the root cause of that. And we talked about some things that God never promised. And I'm just going to run through these. I'm not going to ask you guys about these. But we looked at the fact that God never promised that that life would work out the way we wanted it to work out. God never promised that life is going to go the way we want it to go. God never promised that we would not be hurt by things. On the contrary, he actually promises that we probably will be hurt in life. God never promised that we would not be treated badly by other people. Again, on the contrary, he promises that we probably will be treated badly by other people. And he didn't promise that we would necessarily be liked by others. We actually looked at that statement. He said that we will be hated by people. We will not be liked. But God did promise some things. Anybody remember? We looked at three things that he promised last week. Anybody remember one of those things? Yes. God is in control. That's right. So that he is trustworthy. When we're going through pain and suffering, God, just because God isn't the source of that pain doesn't mean that God's like hands off and he's looking at it going, oh, I don't know what to do. God is completely in control of what's going on with us. What else did God promise? That, yes, that you can always, that it's never going to be too much, right? It's never going to be too much of a burden, too heavy. There's always going to be a way through that tough time. What else? Is that what you were going to say? Yeah, oh, love that passage. That no matter what happens, no matter what difficulties come in our lives, that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. He's promised that to us. Awesome stuff. This week we are looking at, last week we were kind of looking at what pain is all about and God's what God has with pain. And this week we're looking at God's plan for pain. Why does God allow believers to continue to experience pain and continue to experience hardship and all that stuff? We're going to look at that and look at God's purpose. A lot of times we might think that God doesn't have a purpose for the pain in our lives. That's just something we have to kind of grin and bear it and get through it. And hopefully times will be better later. But God actually has some very specific purposes for pain in our lives. We're going to look at some of those today. So let's pray and we'll get into what we're talking about. God, I'm just excited again. I feel like I always start with this, but it's the first thing that comes to my mind. And I'm just excited to be back together looking at your word and learning what you have to teach us about this area of pain and suffering. It's not something we like to even think about because we'd rather avoid any kind of difficult times in our lives, but those things are going to come. You've told us that, and I appreciate that you've given us the truth that we need to get our focus in the right place, to get our thinking in the right place as we go through suffering, and really to be able to live a life pleasing to you, live this life that you've called us to in the midst of suffering. And thank you so much for what your word has to say about that. I just pray tonight that we would truly understand your truth and that we would apply it to our different situations that way. Pray this on your name. Amen. I do want to say that some of you guys actually may really be able to apply some of the stuff we're talking about right away. You may be going through a hard time right now. You may be going through a really difficult time right now. And that's great that we can look at this and you can know God's truth for it. But it's not just for those who are going through a tough time. You will go through a tough time, and this is to prepare you for that. But it's also to prepare you to be able to share and encourage with other people that are going through hard times. You probably even know someone who's maybe going through a tough time right now that can really use God's perspective. So that's where we're looking at this. Let's flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at the first purpose here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Do we have page number? 790. Page 790. Flip to that. 2 Corinthians. Obviously, this was a letter written to the Corinthians, the people in Corinth. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. So let's look at it. Verse 8. It says this. It says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead." Paul's talking about a time that he was in Asia, and he faced some kind of really, really difficult hardship. And we actually don't know. He's not real specific about what happened. We actually have multiple things that we know happened to Paul when he was in Asia. So it could be any number of things. It could be he was beaten once by some people. There was a riot in Ephesus, and really some bad things happened there. They were afraid for their life, him and the guys he was with. He was also attacked by a wild beast at one point that actually attacked him. I think I'd be scared for my life at that point too. But the important thing is that he was facing a situation that in which he felt completely overwhelmed to the point that he thought that he was going to die. He really had that thought in his mind that he was going to die. And he was with some other guys, and they thought they were going to die. They were facing a situation where they thought they were going to die. And his response to that is amazing, because he's going, this time was horrible. God, Paul would have never chosen to be in any of those situations that I just listed. You know, if God talking to Paul and going, hey, you know, what do you want to do tomorrow? I don't think he was like, hey, can I get attacked by a wild beast? Would that be okay? You know, he's never going to do that. We face things all the time that we would never choose to have to deal with that pain and that hurt, and someone treats us badly, and we would never choose that. But Paul was in this situation, and he says something very key about that we can apply to our lives about pain. He says this last statement, which is this. He says, but this happened, this bad thing happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul, a guy who's following Jesus with his life, okay, who's faithfully following God, but he was still learning. We all continue to learn and to grow as believers. And Paul experienced through this time of suffering and pain that, you know what, God was using that for something very, very specific. And that was so that I would stop relying on myself, and it would push me to rely on him, which is so key. We had that first series this year, and it's the theme of our year, authentic Christianity. It's really, everything that we're talking about kind of revolves around that theme. And if you remember, the first thing is Christ-like behavior. We want to be like Christ. And we'll talk actually about that on this next thing that we're going to talk about. But we want to be like Christ. It's the call on our lives, is to live lives like Christ, to be Jesus to everyone that we know. Because Jesus isn't walking the earth, but he's using us to reveal himself to other people, that we can be Jesus to our friends and our family and all that. But the second thing is that it's impossible to be Jesus if we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, which simply means that we're living in dependence upon God. That we're going, God, I can't do this. I can't live a life pleasing to you. I can't conquer sin in my life. I can't show people real love, but you can. And if I'm dependent upon you and I'm trusting you, I can live that out. So this is a great thing, that trials come into our lives to push us to dependence upon God. There's this guy, I love this speaker. By the way, if you guys ever have a chance to hear this guy, his name is Francis Chan. He's awesome. He's definitely one of my favorite speakers. What's that? He pastors a church in Southern California, but he speaks at a lot of different places. And what's that? Yeah, he's spoken at Hume Lake. You guys who have been to Hume Lake, he's spoken there before. He actually spoke at this youth pastors conference that we were just at. It's part of the reason why I wanted to go there. The guy is just super insightful. I love listening to him. But he was relaying the story about how. I don't know if you guys, any of you guys remember this time. I didn't remember this, but I guess about a year and a half ago, in Afghanistan, you know, there's lots of not so great things happening in Afghanistan. There were 23 Korean missionaries who were taken by the Taliban, which most of you guys know, Taliban not so nice there. And if you get captured by them, the result is usually not good. Most of the people die. You know, they videotape it. They try to scare people through these abductions and killings of people. And so they captured 23 of these Korean missionary guys, and they're in this holding cell in Afghanistan, obviously thinking about all the things they've seen on the news. They're in Afghanistan. They know of all the stories of how people have been treated in this situation. Their anticipation is obviously death. It is. They fully admit that they were sitting there thinking, we are going to die. And the amazing thing about these guys, a couple of amazing things, but one of them is they're sitting around in this holding cell, and there's one guy who has a Bible in this group. And they didn't know how long they would be in this cell, and they actually, the following day, they got split up to go to different places. And this guy, you know, pulls out this little pocket Bible he has, and they start pulling pieces of it to give to each of the people so that wherever they were, wherever they went, they could have this little piece of God's word. So they divide it in 23 pieces. And then they started to, then one guy spoke up and he said he was a pastor that was a part of that group. And he said, you know what? They're gonna come get us and they're gonna start killing us. And I'm a pastor, and so I'm gonna go first. And then this second guy over here, he said, no. I am older than you, and you need to respect your elders, so I'm gonna go first. And then this guy over here is like, no. I'm a minister. I'm older than both of you. I'm ordained. I'm going first. They're arguing about who's gonna be killed first. Blows me away. But what's more amazing, I mean, that's amazing. I don't know if it's more amazing, but they started taking these people, started killing them. And they were still arguing about, I'm going next. No, I'm going next. Eventually, they killed a good number of them, but eventually some of them were set free. And one of these guys was a pastor that Francis Chan was talking with, and they were just talking about the experience, and the guy said, you know, I've been talking to some of these guys that I was with in that holding cell, and they're coming to me and they're saying, you know what, I wish we were back there, because there was something about being in that situation that just, trusting God was just, it was like automatic. I've tried since I've been away from that place, and no matter what I do, I just can't get back to that intimacy that I have with God when I was in that place. I look at that and I go, wow, that blows me away. That's what it's about. That place of certain death for those guys was pushing them to this place of just like automatic dependence upon God. It wasn't even a question. It wasn't even a struggle. So easy. We're not going to be in that situation, likely. We may be. But that happens for us too. That as we face trials, God is putting those things in our lives so that we will start to get, I can't do it. I'm going through this hard time and I'm trying to do it by myself and I'm dying here. I can't do it. I need you, God. Are you responding that way? Is that where you're going when stuff is difficult? When God puts difficult times in your life, things that aren't great for you, is that where you're going? Are you going, I need you, God. I can't handle this. It's too much. God's plan, one of God's plans for difficulty in our lives is to push us to Him, is to push us to dependence upon Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Love this passage. Easily one of my top 10 passages in the Bible. And you can stay right there because we're going to stay in this passage for a while. But it starts out in verse 7. It says this. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. He starts out what he's going to say here, and we're going to keep going here in a sec, but he starts out and he says that we are jars of clay. Very simple containers back then. And that we have this treasure that's on the inside. I have something that is a really poor representation of that. But you can see what I have here. Everybody see what I got? I know you guys are really, really wanting to eat candy right now, right? After all those M&Ms. But if someone wants to take this home, does anybody want this? Yeah. Raise your hand if you would like to take this home. No, you, no. I would never trick you. You could totally have it. Anybody want it? Okay. Raise your hand if you want it. Raise your hand up high. Have a seat. If you want it, it's good to know that you really want it. That because I got to decide who I'm going to give it to. So raise your hand if you want it. Okay. Okay. Since all of you guys want it, I'm just going to ask: is anybody willing to pay me for it? Anything? Are you guys willing to pay me anything for it? Any of you guys? You're not willing to pay me anything for it, huh?
I don't have
it. Okay. Okay. Is anybody willing to do something for me, entertain me in some way? Anybody willing to do like 10 push-ups for this thing? Raise your hand if you're willing to do 10 push-ups for this thing. Okay, is anybody willing to do 10 push-ups and sing I'm a Little Teapot? Okay, all of you guys do 10 push-ups and 10 push-ups first, go ahead.
We can't all do
it. I don't know how to sing it.
Just do 10 push-ups, is that all I'm asking you to do?
No, because you're not gonna give it.
Well, you're not going to get it if you don't do 10 push-ups, so these guys are in the running at least over here. That was lame. Okay, are either of you guys willing to sing I'm a Little Teapot? Come on, I'm a Little Teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle, here's my spout.
I can't do push-ups.
When I get all steamed up. Can you do I'm a Little Teapot?
Huh?
You gotta do 10 push-ups though. Okay, 10 push-ups, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 10 push-ups is a lot, huh? 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, are either of you guys willing to do I'm a Little Teapot? Okay, go ahead. Now you gotta stand up and you gotta do it. You gotta do the, okay, let me see. No, that was your spout. No. When I get all steamed up.
When I get all steamed up,
give
me
a shot. Push me over. Oh, hold on. You're willing to do it? Sit down.
No, sit down.
Hannah wins. Right. Hannah gets it. Have a seat. Have a seat. Okay. Here you go. You can come get it. I'm just going to clean it up a little bit. What?
I don't want it.
You just did 10 push-ups and you sang I'm a Little Teapot for it. This is what I showed you I was giving you. You don't want it? Oh, I implied that what? You don't want this? I'm going to give it to you. You don't want it? Why don't you want it? Why don't you want it? Tell me why you don't want it. That's right. The container didn't matter, right? What did Hannah want? She was willing to give up quite a lot to do that. What did she want? She wanted the treasure. Here, I'm not going to pick them all up. The container didn't matter, right? That's like a 15-cent container. Totally common. Nothing worthwhile about it in any way. But the only thing that makes... See, did you guys notice that she took that in a second when I handed it to her? I still gave her the container, but it wasn't the container that she wanted. It was the treasure that had the value. She was willing to do 10 push-ups. She was willing to sing I'm a Little Teapot. For... the treasure, not for the container. The treasure is the valuable thing. The same thing goes with us. We try to put value and try to show people how great the container is. We are common and ordinary. Sorry to tell you. But, you know, there are billions and billions of people who have 10 fingers and 10 toes and, you know, have hair and have noses on their face and talk. And there's lots of people that are just, that have a container just like you do. The important thing is that we have a treasure. And this is the treasure. He explains it. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. And then the treasure he's talking about is actually he's talking about the gospel of Jesus, the news about who Jesus is, the embodiment of who Jesus is. We have Jesus in our lives. That's the treasure. And the reason why we're just ordinary, commonplace, just like billions and billions of other containers, is so that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That this treasure is inside of this wimpy, weak, brittle container, so that people can see the all-surpassing, which is a great word because it means beyond what can be measured. We can't even fathom that. Everything can be measured, right? They've even have a pretty good guess as to how many gallons are in the ocean. I don't know how they figure that out, but they have a pretty good idea. Everything can pretty much be measured. But the power of God in our lives is immeasurable, beyond what can be measured. And it's to show that amazing power of God, and that it comes from Him and not from us. In what way? He's going to explain in what way. Here, he says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, not destroyed. He starts out and says that we are pressed on every side. Let me give you an example of pressed on every side. This is a Monster. I like Monsters. It's my favorite energy drink. But the cool thing, and you might have never even noticed this about Monsters before, is that before you open the Monster, there is something inside of here that keeps this can intact. See, I can put pressure on this can. I can squeeze as hard as I can squeeze, which is not very hard because I'm not very strong. And it doesn't even dent the can. Okay? I could, I don't want to shake this up too much, but I could step onto the can. And there's nothing, I'm not going to put all my weight on it. Although I could, if I could balance, I could put all my weight on the top. I could put pressure down on this. I can't stand on it. And the can is fine, right? Why? Because of what's inside the can, right? If I open this, now I'm going to get really hyper since you guys had all that, those M&Ms. And I drink the Monster. I'm going to be up all night.
Stop now. Is this an example so we can all try it?
You want to drink it now?
Sure.
I should have got the small can. Okay, I take what's inside of the can out. I seriously did. If I start jumping off the walls in a second, you'll know why. Now, I can take this can, and I squeeze it the same way, and it crushes, right? I stand right here, and it crushes, right? I put hardly any force on it at all. The key is that we're like this can. But the great thing is we're like this can full of Monster closed, which means pressure can come from all sides. The passage actually says there that that we are hard-pressed on every side, which means in every possible way we have pressure in our lives. And you guys probably can relate to that. But there's a lot of pressure in your lives. There's pressure to get good grades. There's pressure to perform well on a sports team. There's pressure to perform well in a music class. There's pressure from your parents. There's pressure from your friends. There's pressure to do things you probably don't want to do that your friends are doing. There's pressure all over the place. But the great thing, the great promise that we have is that we are hard-pressed on every side, but we will never, ever be crushed because of this treasure that we have inside. I'm going to burp for the rest of this time. Okay? That's the first thing. He says that we are perplexed, which just means confused, at a loss for what to do. You guys ever had that before? You face a situation and you're like, I don't know what to do. You're confused, you're puzzled. Here, I have a puzzle. Let me show you my puzzle. Okay? It's like a puzzle. Anybody like to do puzzles? Okay. Anybody want to do a 1,000-piece puzzle right now? You can, no, I'm just kidding. Puzzles, I like to do puzzles too, but what makes puzzles, what makes hard puzzles different from easy puzzles?
More pieces.
What else?
Complex picture.
Those are the two things. That if this was a 10-piece puzzle, you could do it in like 10 seconds. But a 1,000-piece puzzle, this would probably take you 20 hours to do. And the more complex the picture is, you look at puzzle pieces, and you've got this whole tree section, and that's ridiculously hard to do because you've got, you know, 500 pieces that all look like orange and yellow leaves. It's hard to find the right spot. It's perplexing. It's hard. It's difficult. But if you put the work in, can you complete the puzzle? What if I came up to your puzzle while you were in the bathroom and I did this? Can you complete the puzzle? No, it's beyond puzzling. You cannot complete that. He's saying here that we will be puzzled by things, we will be confused by things. You guys will face decisions that honestly you go, I have no idea where to go to college. Or, you know, situations that you just go, I don't know what to do with this. I was mean to my friend, I apologize, she won't forgive me, and I don't know what to do now. The great thing is that we will be puzzled, perplexed, but we will never be in despair. And I'm not crazy about the word despair, because all's that word is, it's two Greek words. And the first one is aporeo, which just means to be perplexed, confused. And the other Greek word is ex aporeo, which all that ex means is really, utterly, completely puzzled. And that's the better translation there, that you will be puzzled and confused, and like you're looking at a 1,000-piece puzzle, but it will never be completely, utterly lost. You will never be completely, utterly without hope. Great promise. Then he says you'll be persecuted, which just means treated badly, harassed. But you will never be abandoned. You will never be left alone. You'll never be forsaken or deserted. There's always hope. That's what he's getting at here. It's never complete. It's never final. Tough, bad stuff is going to happen to you, but it's never final. And the last thing he says is that you will be struck down, which means you'll be beaten, is what that means. Knocked down, hurt badly, like go to the hospital, hurt badly. But you will never be destroyed. You will never be complete and utterly lost. There's always hope for us as believers within tough, rough stuff in our lives. But why the tough, rough stuff? Why do we even have to be perplexed at all? Why do we even have to be hard-pressed? Why do we have to have pressure in our lives? Why do we have to have that? What's the point? Points here in verse 10. He says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. And the death he's talking about is pain. The stuff he was talking about, perplexed, confused, pressured. We carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. I don't like that first part. I don't know about you, but I don't like that first part because he says twice, we face death, we face pain and suffering all the time as believers. And the second time he actually says we are being given over to, delivered over to, which means God is willingly going, I'm going to put you in that situation. It's going to hurt. I'm going to allow that to happen. I'm gonna allow that pain to come into your life. I don't like that. It's not good. But the second part, it's so that the purpose is that the life of Jesus may be seen in us. That's what it's about, right? That is what we are about as believers. That is why we are here on this earth, is to be Jesus to others. And this is the way. See, we like the stuff like, love people. That's the way we can be Jesus. We like it when things are going good and we can, act a little bit like Jesus, grow a beard or whatever. But we don't like this part. But people will see Jesus in us through the pain and the suffering that we go through. You are different. Don't know if you know that. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you are different. And it will be noticed that you are different. When you face a situation, a difficulty, and you run, like we've talked about, and you go, God, I need you. I need your help here. Others will see the difference. When someone makes fun of you and hurts your feelings, and your response, because you're dependent upon God, is, that's okay. When you face the death of someone in your family and you go, you know what? I'm going to see them. This is not the end for them or for me, and I'm going to see them again. This is great. This is actually really good for them. Nobody does that. When your life is falling apart around you and you go, you know what? Life stinks. You have the opportunity to show Jesus' power in your life by the way that you respond as a believer to tough times in your life. It's actually one of the best times Because everyone's going to go, oh, your life's going good. No problem. That, yeah, you're happy when, and you're trusting God when things are going good. Doesn't say anything about you. But you trust God when life is just falling apart. Who does that? And that's the last thing here. Verse 12 is all by itself. It's just a simple little verse that says this. It says, so then, based on everything that we were looking at here, so then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Weird statement. That all that means is, you know what? Paul's saying this about him and his buddies. He was going, our life stinks right now. And when we were hanging out with you, and when we faced that stuff going on in Asia, and we actually looked at last week, Paul's life was not good. Remember, he listed off all that stuff that happened with Paul. Not good stuff that he and his guys had to endure. But he said, you know what? I am glad to go through that. Because you know what? As I die, as I face these pressures, and as I face this stuff that I feel like I'm going to get overwhelmed with, and I face just my life just crumbling in around me, but I'm able to reveal who Jesus is to you, you have the opportunity to have life. See, so many times when we're going through pain, our response is, woe is me. Isn't it? Everyone needs to, you know, come around me and hear my sad, sad story, and I'm going to tell you all about all this pain I'm going through. And you know what? We're there to do that. You need to depend on us, and we can depend on you. But we turn so inward when bad things happen that we just kind of go, oh, man, life is horrible. I'm just going to grin and bear it and get through it. And we're called to be what Paul was doing. He was going, I'm going to stop thinking about me, and I'm going to go, how can what I'm going through change you? How can my death, the way he describes it, my life is so horrible that it's like I'm dying. How can my death bring you life? You think about you. Not me. God can use you. The point there is that God can use you in the midst of hard times to change someone else's life. You have the opportunity that people around you see you go through something tough, and for them to be changed by you, by your trusting God through that. That they could actually have life. They're living in spiritual death. You guys know lots of people who are living in death, and they're on their way to death. Their life is full of it, and their end is spiritual death. You have the opportunity to bring life, to be used by God to bring life to those people that are around you through times that stink for you. That's what we're called to. That's the purpose of hard times. Bottom questions there, guys, are how do you need to apply these truths to your life? Who is someone that you know that is going through a tough time and might need to hear these truths? Remember, we need to be thinking about not just when we go through tough times, but how can I encourage someone else who's struggling through a tough time? And then the last question there is, who is someone who needs to see Christ in you when you go through tough times? I'm sure you guys could name three people right now, that you go, they need to see Christ in me. They need that. They're dying and they need to see that. And then that bottom question, and I want you guys to fill this out. What are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? I'm going to give you guys a couple minutes just to fill that in. And I want you guys all to write at least one or two of those things on the bottom there. You guys are good at that, but I've not.